Praise and thanks be to the Lord, that we can sing and believe this with a joyful heart. We know that everything God does is good and wonderful. From the beginning, when He founded the earth and created everything, and everything was very good, that is something marvelous. And we as believers, we believe His word and His promises, which He has given from the beginning and which are being fulfilled until our day. We are so glad that we do not need to rely on men, but on the infallible Word of God. We rely on His promises because we know that every word and every promise that He has spoken and made known through His servants, the prophets, will be fulfilled, early or late. But what the mouth of the Lord has spoken is marvelous, and it will be fulfilled in His time. Not in our time or when men think so, but in His time. And that is our hope. We can't bring anything about, and we don't want to, but we rejoice in the reign of our God and are so happy about it. Now I would like to read the Word of God, what His mouth spoke in the days of the prophet Isaiah, and perhaps a few verses in the New Covenant. Yesterday we read from Isaiah 66. Today I would like to read from Isaiah 65. And here we see and hear God speaking. He speaks here through Isaiah the prophet in chapter 65 from verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Can we all believe that? If God has spoken this, then it will come to pass, and it will be fulfilled, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Isn't that something marvelous? As believers, we can only rejoice in this and give thanks to God. And then it says in verse 18, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. And we rejoice that in his time this promise will also be fulfilled, beloved. There is no other way. God's word remains God's word. His promises cannot be changed. Here we have heard that the Lord has promised, and we can rely on the fact that it will materialize. I would perhaps just like to quote from Revelation chapter 21. Here John has been shown many things, and he says in Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Doesn't this correspond marvelously with what is written in the prophet Isaiah? Dear brothers and sisters, we can see that it is 100% true. And then it goes on, "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Isn't that marvelous? It is something marvelous. The promises are not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. And then it says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. I think we can only rejoice that God is on the plan, that he is about to fulfill his word and his promises. And for that, dear brothers, we do not want to stop bringing him honor and praise. As long as we are here on earth, as long as we have the opportunity, as long as he keeps us here, that we glorify and worship his name. I think he will continue to speak to us this morning and will bless us from the riches of his grace. Let us ask him to hear us now and to be with us. Let us stand up and pray together. Faithful God, we thank you in this morning hour that we may once again stand here before you. We have already read your word and may rejoice in your word, for you are a marvelous God. You have spoken marvelously. You have revealed your plan to your people. You have revealed yourself to us, the least ones. You have made yourself known, and we believe and trust your word, for we see that they will be fulfilled even in our day. Lord, we not only see what has been fulfilled and what will be fulfilled, but we also see what you will fulfill in our days. For this we are so glad and give you the honor and praise and worship. We pray you, Lord, be with us also this morning and bless us. Bless your servant, our brother, as he brings your word, and bless us all who will hear. And bless with us, O faithful God, all your people too, everywhere, in all places, Lord, whether in the east, west, north or south, or behind the iron curtain, you are able to bless your people and to comfort them, Lord, who look out for you. We worship you. We ask you to take everything from us that doesn't mean you, and give us your word with strength and power. We worship you and praise your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. We are grateful for the grace and privilege that we can be here again to worship. We feel what a blessing comes from the Word of God, because we have an inner agreement, a full yes to everything God has said. When we doubt our doubts, but not God's Word. God's Word is yes and amen. And the Holy Scripture says, John expresses it, he that believeth not God has made him a liar. And that's a bad thing. Whoever does not believe God makes him a liar. That is why we are glad that we can believe and thus confirm that he is true in all his words and holy in all his doings. We may not yet fully understand some things on this side of eternity. Perhaps we ask ourselves silently, why does it have to be this way or that way? But when we cross over from time into eternity, every question will be answered. Yes, we will no longer be able to remember the former things at all. There will be no more memory of what can be unpleasant, nothing at all. It will all be over forever. And therefore, joy will be unclouded for eternity. We are grateful for that. It is still the time of grace, and the Lord has been with us. Our ways may sometimes be different, but we all have one goal, and that is to be with the Lord at all costs. And he who began will finish it unto the day of his return. And that day is certainly not far off. All the signs of the times point to it. And blessed is the man who sees it. At that time, the Lord said to the religious leaders, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. They knew what kind of weather was coming. But he says, the signs of the times ye did not recognize. How often have I wanted to gather you, and ye did not want to? God has a plan for his people, and it is a great grace when we recognize this plan, and it is an even greater grace when we know that we are part of God's plan. Moses asked the Lord at that time, "If I have indeed found grace in thy sight, then let me know your ways." And then we read it in the Psalm. God let Moses know his ways, and the children of Israel his doings. Moses was a prophet, and the word of the Lord came to the prophets. It came, it reached them, it came upon them, it came into them. God anointed them and spoke through their mouths. And when we realize today that God's word remains God's word, even if it is spoken by the mouth of man, it remains God's word. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This will not change. Brother Rus has read a word that immediately confronts us with a task of placing it. You know, we are used to it at this place, or accustomed to it, whichever may be a better word for it, that we place everything, and that with God's help, not of ourselves. There is no man who could think of himself that he is God's secret counselor. There is no human being who could think of himself to know everything. But there are people who may draw close to God. There are people to whom God draws near. There are people who receive the word revealed in their hearts through the Spirit, who do not approach it with their minds, but who tremble in awe of His word, because God speaks to us. You will have noticed that in this word of the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 65, only one verse deals with a new heaven and a new earth. All the other verses deal with the millennium. And I will show it to you. I'm sure you all noticed. I don't need to emphasize it. In the first verse, which is verse 17, we read, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." Full stop. And now comes a completely different topic. "But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem." Now the theme continues with Jerusalem. And if we read the other verses carefully, we realize that there is still talk of procreation, of death. Have you all noticed? In the new heaven and on the new earth, there is no more procreation. There is no more death. Death will be swallowed up forever, and there will be no more funerals, as there is one before you now. And I want you to know once again how deeply we feel with you in the hours of mourning. And I would like to acknowledge here that our dear sister Paschke looked after your dear dad and father-in-law with such dedication and sacrifice. I say this here today with all appreciation. It is one thing to serve the Lord with your mouth, and another to serve God sincerely by serving one another, and that in all love. We have read it here. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. That is still time, that is not yet eternity. In eternity there will be no procreation, no young man, no old man, no death, no burial. In eternity, everything temporal is finished. It is over. But in the millennium, people will still live. Houses will be built. Vineyards will be planted. There will be only peace. Wolf and lamb will graze together. Why? Because the devil will be bound. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. The moment Satan is bound, and that is before the beginning of the millennium, the moment Satan is bound, there will be no more evil. Then there will be peace for 1,000 years, and we will reign with the Lord. And only after 1,000 years will the final judgment come. And after the final judgment, the new heaven and the new earth, and then eternity will begin again. There was a period of time. The word doesn't quite fit here, because eternity does not include any concepts of time. But there was a state of eternity, and then time began. And then time merges into eternity and ends. And as sons and daughters of God, we will live forever, just as God will live forever. We can hardly believe it, but this is a divine reality. Whoever believes in the Son of God has eternal life. He has passed from death into life. And our Lord said, "He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." These are glorious words of God. And the beauty is that they are all true. Hallelujah. What good are the most marvelous words if they are not true? So, God's word is true, and we rejoice and exult in it, despite the many tribulations and hardships we have to go through. Verse 23 says, "They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." So it will be. But only among those who do not belong to the bride church. Let me make that very clear. All those who really belong to the bride church and are raptured beforehand and come back with the Lord after the great tribulation to reign with him for 1,000 years, they will be with the Lord in the holy city. For thus it is written, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And immediately afterwards, "I saw the new Jerusalem, the holy city, adorned like a bride for the bridegroom." We read about it in Revelation 21. To underpin this once and for all, We read verse 25 here. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Today, the lion would devour the lamb, but then there will be peace, and not one will devour the other, but all will be at peace with one another. By the way, the same word is also found in Isaiah, in chapter 11, from verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, a visit, and nothing will happen. How wonderful, how marvelous. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. Everything will be peaceful and in order. The whole world is longing for peace right now. And do you know why? Because they may instinctively realize or sense that a time of peace must come. But it will not come on human initiative, because peace must begin in the heart, and peace must begin with God, not in negotiations between the superpowers, who then continue to arm and arm and arm. But peace must begin with God, with the individual, and it must begin in the heart. That is why a songwriter sings, when peace like a river attendeth my way, it is well with my soul. In this way we see what God has promised in His Word, moving into the very near future. To stay with the same theme, or the one that goes with it, I read from Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, from verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Earlier we read, for the Lord has promised. Here we read, for the Lord has spoken it. Paul explained that the veil was over the people of Israel. Here it says that the veil is spread over all nations. But then, when God really reveals Himself and makes His glory known, the covering, the veil that was over all nations will be taken away, and they will cry out, as it says here in verse 9 of chapter 25. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Who can say anything more about such words? What should be added to them? We gratefully acknowledge that God has a marvelous plan for mankind. Blessed are those who let themselves be included in this divine plan, who have an inner agreement with it and say, yes, Lord, I believe that you have planned it this way, and I believe that I can be part of it. We have sometimes emphasized this. What use is the knowledge of the most beautiful glory if we do not have the certainty of being there? So, let us begin with God, or let God make the beginning in us, and the beginning that God makes with us happened on Golgotha. On the great and glorious day of atonement, of all days of atonement, when God made peace with humanity, forgave iniquity, did not impute sin. When we read the letter of John, for example, there it says in one verse, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And in another verse we read that we are free from sin, as if we had never sinned. Earthly, a contradiction. Either we have or we have not. Either we are or we are not. This is how reason would argue. Faith speaks what God has said in his word. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is one side. And then comes the other. If your sin were as red as blood, it shall become as white as snow. And then it is added, I will not remember their sins and their iniquities, but will sink them in the deepest part of the sea. Both are true. It is true that we were born in sins, lived in sins, but it is also true that he, the innocent, the holy and the pure, was made sin for us, that our punishment was laid on him, that we might have peace, and by his wounds we were healed. Now it depends on what you believe. If you believe that you are still a sinner, fine, then be a sinner. But if you believe that you have been saved, that God has pardoned you and made you his own on Calvary, all you have to do is accept it and thank God, because it is a finished work. Our Lord proclaimed on the cross, it is finished. It was done. The salvation of every human being happened on Golgotha. But each individual must accept and receive salvation in faith. That is the point. And therefore, the proclamation of the gospel, so that individuals are shown what happened on Golgotha. And then they can make their decision and say yes to the Lord and accept what He has prepared. There are a few more scriptures that we can read together that also relate to this topic, that God has accepted us, that we may become His sons and daughters. And we also read and spoke last night about the rest that still remains to God's people or has been made available to them. Here, in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 6, we read from verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel?" Beloved, you have to be among unbelievers to realize how great the difference is and how painful it is for us who love our Lord when He is reviled, when no faith is shown in Him, when blasphemy passes their lips. We very quickly realize how great the difference is between a believer and an unbeliever. It goes on to say, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" Yesterday we read the word, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house could you build for me that I could dwell?" And here we read, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols?" And now it comes, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Not a temple built by human hands, but they, my people, my sons and my daughters, they form the body of the Lord, the temple of the living God, the place of revelation of the Most High here on earth. And we are ashamed that God has not yet been able to come into His own, as has become apparent to this day. We are saddened by this, but believe that He will come to His full right and make it known that He dwells among His own. For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said. What did our Savior say back then? "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." The people heard it and said, "For 46 years they have been building this temple, and this man will raise it up again in 3 days." They did not realize that He was talking about His body. Earthly, our Lord was a man. It was a temple in which God had taken dwelling. But now we, as the Lord's church, are the temple of the living God. That is what we also tried to say last night. God is alive, and He needs a living temple. God needs a mouth to be able to speak, hands to lay them on. How can He do it? He uses you and me. God does not use the sun, the wind, the moon, or the stars. God does not even use angels who could come to the front here, because they would not be able to preach the gospel to us. They don't even know what it means to be saved. They don't even know what it means to be lost. How could they bring us the good news? God has arranged it so that the sound of this glorious message and the proclamation has been carried from generation to generation. We have remembered with gratitude our beloved brother, who was a very old warrior of our Lord for many years. And we know that he may now see what he believed. I was happy when I heard the testimony last night of how he went home, and what peace, what joy, what singing was still there at the last moment. No agony, a peaceful passing from time into eternity. That is it. That is reality. These are people who experienced God, who were not only pious, but who served the Lord. It may be that I am repeating myself in saying that within a family, even a believer, the most devout and the most consecrated to God, still remains human. Please don't forget that, dear family members. Even the greatest man of God on earth remains human. And because he remains human, it cannot be ruled out that some things may be seen or judged differently from the way he judged them. But that has nothing whatsoever to do with a relationship with God. It is only people who dwell on it, perhaps to find their own excuse. But it's not the case with you, so we don't need to go into it. For we are the temple of the living God. Is that true? Or is it just written? Are we really? Could God take dwelling in your heart and in mine? Has He joined us together as members of the body of Jesus Christ into a holy temple in which He can dwell, in which He can walk, in which He can speak, in which He can act? Anyone can preach about it, sing about it, or dream about it. But it is our deepest longing for it to come true. Come true today, at the end of the time of grace, just as it came true back then, at the beginning of the time of grace, that God, as we've heard again and again through the mouth of Brother Branham, will restore all things in the end and bring it back to its rightful place by grace. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What a wonderful word, a true word, a holy word from our God. Go out. Yes, go out from where? From everything that does not agree with the word of God. not from this world, from all religious Babel, from everything that does not agree with the Holy Scriptures, and thus return to the Lord, so that we may agree with Him and His Word. A person who wants to be in agreement with God must first be in agreement with His Word. If someone thinks he has fellowship with God and agrees with Him, and he does not agree with His Word, then let us say it clearly, then something is wrong. And we do not claim that everything is right, but we do claim that we are heading for the goal in perfect faith, in the conviction that everything will be 100% right in the end, just as it was 100% right in the beginning, because that is God's way with His church. He wants to prepare a church that is without spot or wrinkle, that is presented before His holy face in holiness unreprovable. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We have another word in the prophet Isaiah. Here it says, in chapter 60, Isaiah 60, second part of verse 13, Isaiah 60, second part of verse 13, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. I am particularly concerned with the saying, for I will honor the place where my feet rest. There is a rest for the people of God. And if we, as believers, open ourselves to the Lord and make ourselves available to Him, and He can condescend and take dwelling and walk, talk, and act among us, then it will become a place that He sanctifies, that He honors, not for our sake, for the sake of His holy presence. It is not a holy mountain, but the Holy One on the holy mountain, not a holy place, but the Holy One whose presence sanctifies the place. It is not a holy man, it is the Holy One in the man who sanctifies him. And our Lord said in the Gospel of John, in chapter 17, Father, I sanctify myself for them, that they also may be sanctified in truth. There is no person who can bring their own righteousness and holiness. It is not valid before God. As the prophet says, all our righteousness is like a filthy rag. But then, He was made unto us righteousness, redemption, the word that Paul addressed to the Corinthians. Everything is glorious, and everything is true. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God forever and ever. In Hebrews chapter 4, we may read verses 8, 9, and 10. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. We heard Brother Rus say that God created everything and it was very good. And then it says, and God rested. God rested from all his works. After he had created everything and examined everything, he said, it is very good. To this day, there is still no one who could make a suggestion for improvement. Not one. There are critics, but none who could make it better as God has made it. God rested from all his works. When we have come to rest in God, then we also rest from all our own works. Then we know very well that they are not very good, namely the opposite of what is said of God. Let me read it again, verses 9 and 10. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. It is not works that we do, but the work that God has done in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we want to come to rest from our own works and rest in his accomplished, eternally valid work of redemption. And so we find peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone has trouble with a Sabbath, here it speaks about a Sabbath rest, not just on a weekday, but as God rested on the seventh day, so we rest from all our works forever and ever. 7, the number of divine perfection. We are not only in God's rest on one day of the week, but 7 days in a week. Not just on the seventh day, when we might have a brief lecture on the Sabbath. That does not bring the rest of God to anyone. But if we have come to rest in God, then not just on the seventh day, but every 7 days. Hallelujah! Praise be to God! How marvelous when the course of God has been transfigured and revealed to a person by the Spirit. Then gratitude rises in our hearts. I had the impression yesterday that we should have given the altar call, that people who sense that the Lord is drawing near to them should seize the opportunity and simply call upon him, as it is written. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will save you, and you shall praise me. Biblical conversions actually happen without having to give the altar call. In the book of Acts, Peter didn't need to ask who wants to consecrate their life to God, who wants to raise their hand, who wants to make a decision for Jesus. The Holy Spirit came upon the listeners and they spontaneously asked of their own accord, "Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?" We would like to see this again. Let it come. Let it come in the name of the Lord. How many conversions there are today. And this is not a criticism. This is a sad fact that we all have to bow to. How many conversions there are that have been brought about by human influence, without people having broken through and truly found peace with God. What we desire is an ancient work of the Holy Spirit. With this ancient word, with the everlasting gospel, which is to be preached to all nations for a witness. As it is written in Matthew 24, verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations. And just as when the time comes for Israel, the spirit of repentance and supplication comes upon the people, so may God once more show mercy and pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And we old-timers, that's what I call us now, who lived through the time after the Second World War, when there was revival in every town and village, wherever we went, we can remember how the Spirit of God was at work, how people burst into tears, called on the name of the Lord, and were saved. Glorious times. May even more glorious times return. May God be pleased to crown His work with glory and majesty and give us one more merciful visitation before the door of grace closes forever. Today, if we have heard His voice, let us not harden our hearts, but open them and thank the Lord, call upon Him and praise Him. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, from my heart I thank You for Your precious and holy word. Lord, I thank You for the blood of the new covenant which You shed as the Lamb of God on the cross. And I thank You that You have entered the heavenly sanctuary with this blood, and that this blood speaks for us. Hallelujah. And that we have the joyful confidence to walk this new living way, to come into Your presence in faith. Beloved Lord, it humbles us greatly that You, as the Holy One, have stooped down like this. It is only grace that You have even given us a glance. O God, thank You. Thank You for redemption, for deliverance, for salvation, for forgiveness, for eternal life, for everything you have given us. And now we pray especially for all the bereaved, for the entire family of our beloved brother, whom you have taken home into your glory. O Lord, surely he will have spent up sighs and prayers to your throne of grace, that he may see all his own again on that day. You who answer prayers, we ask you together, may you also bless the day of the funeral. May you bless our beloved brother Rus, who will bring your word there. Faithful Lord, speak to the people. Let them realize what it means to be lost, to be separated from God forever. O God, work through your Spirit and through your word in a mighty way. Once again we thank you for last night, when you were so close to us, so especially close, when you came to meet us and supped with us. Lord, this morning we have also been strengthened by your word, for you have promised it, you have spoken it, and you will certainly keep it. We thank you for it. Bless all your people, your blood-bought multitude throughout the earth, and soon put us in a position where we can cry out, come soon, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have prepared the place for us, and that we will soon take part in the great marriage supper with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and all the saints, all the redeemed. Blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb and take part in it. Beloved Lord, may this invitation be taken seriously, and may all honor it and seize their opportunity. Today you have spoken to us. Today we may enter into your rest, not into a rest on a Sabbath, but into a Sabbath rest. Hallelujah! O great God, how marvelous you are! How clear is your word! Hallelujah! Oh, we thank you for your Spirit, who gave the word, who inspired it, and who makes it alive and reveals it to us. Bless us together and be with us all. In Jesus' name, Amen.